Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we are going to have a special sermon today because it's my 95th birthday. And so we're going to serve, our text is going to be the 95th Psalm. How can you beat that? And so call your friends and tell them, just say, oh, there's an old guy here. He's 95 years old. He's going to try to preach. And just get him on and see what happens. But before we do that, I want to read some of the letters because we get so many nice letters. And people are always saying, well, we so enjoy the letters. One lady wrote and said she enjoyed the letters more than my sermon. Well, I threw that letter away, I'll tell you that. But let's look at some of them. Here's one, Missoula, Montana. This is the ladies' prison. And this lady writes, thank you for the materials you sent to me. It was an answer to my prayers. I read my Bible, but I need direction, and your books have given me that. It's not easy being in jail. I quit praying for my own freedom, and instead I pray for the other girls. I figure God is using me here, and he will let me out when he's good and ready. Again, thank you and bless you. And this is just beautiful because she says, first of all, she says, I figure God is using me here. You bet he is. Bloom where you're planted. St. Paul was in prison, and he witnessed for Jesus. And people turned to the Lord. So that you got it exactly right. And she also said, he'll let me out when he's good and ready. And God has a plan for your life, and he will take care of you. And I don't know if it'll be in prison or out of prison. I pray it'll be out of prison, but you just pray God's will to be done. That's what she's doing. Now, here's a nice letter, and it's from Ormond Beach, Florida. My husband is 81 years old and fighting prostate cancer that has spread to his bones. We humbly ask your prayer team to pray for him. He always says every Saturday night as we lay down to sleep, meet me in the morning for our date, meaning the Christian worship hour. We both love your honest, devoted style of preaching. God bless you. Isn't that nice? That's their date. They go to church together, and God bless them, and someday they'll be in heaven together. And then we have a letter from Centerville, South Dakota, and they write this. We are sending this memorial for Mom and Dad, who both went to join our Lord and Savior this fall. Dad was your age, Pastor Salem, and enjoyed your sermons when he was no longer able to go to church. He didn't know his children's name at the end, but if you told him it was Sunday, he'd go to the TV and turn it on to wait for the Christian worship hour so it would come so he could listen. Isn't that, see, after it's all gone, he has Jesus. And one more letter, Moorhead, Minnesota. In February this year, my husband passed away. 2 months before he died, we were listening to you on Sunday morning. He received Jesus and forgiveness of sin. I pray for the Christian worship hour that many more will come to receive Jesus. Now, if you've sent a gift to the Christian worship hour, if you prayed for the Christian worship hour, you had a part in this man's salvation. And someday he'll thank you. So you get ready, get your pencil and paper, because I'm going to give you a prayer where you can send a gift. We'll do that in the end of the sermon if you're still with us and still awake. And so you get that ready, and we'll worship the Lord, and we'll go as long as you provide our needs. And when God doesn't provide our needs anymore, we'll close up and we'll go fishing. Well, my 95th birthday, God has brought me onward through this wonderful year. And we're looking at the 95th Psalm. And from this 95th Psalm, we want to see three things. God is faithful, God is good, and God is great. So God is faithful. The first thing that happens in this beautiful Psalm is that God shows us how wonderful and faithful he is. He's a wonderful God. And Jeremiah had it just right when he declared in Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23, he said, it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. For 85 years now, I've personally known Jesus. Really, I'm 95 years old, but I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 10 years old. For 85 years, he's been in my heart, and I can tell you something. Over all those years, he's never broken a single promise. He's never told me I couldn't pray to him. He's never refused to take my burdens. He's never denied me my fellowship with him. God has never abandoned me in the battle. And as the psalmist put it, many, they came to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. God didn't let the enemy hurt me ever once, not once. Oh, God bless his name. And I want to tell you something else. God has never failed me. I failed him 1,000 times over. I regret it. I'm not bragging. But for the wonderful grace of God, he has never failed me a single time. And I think of how close Jesus was all the time. He was always true to his word. And he said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And he never forsook me one single time. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. God is faithful in the good days and the hard days, in the sunshine and the shadow. He's with us when we're in the midst of the storm. And God is there. And I may not see him, but he is there. And I have seen him all my life, never to forsake me. He sees us when we're a bit sick and our bedridden. He sees us when we're shut-ins. He sees us when a loved one is taken away. He's with us. Maybe you're going through a divorce, a hard time in your life. Maybe the one of you at least is sorrowing, maybe both of you, I don't know. But God will be with you in the extremities of life if you just look to him and trust him. But you have to know Jesus, see? And what you have to do is there has to be that time in your life. And if you haven't done it, do it now. Say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll put you the Lord of my life. And I'll live for you. And I'll forsake all sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. And then I thank you, Jesus. And then you tell somebody. And there, when you once you've done that, you can be in the midst of the storm, but Jesus Christ is there with us. We may be up or we may be down. He's always there. Phil Johnson has a beautiful song. It goes like this. The eyes of the Lord are upon me. He sees everything I do. The arms of the Lord are around me. He keeps me safe and secure. And then this chorus. And it goes, and although there were times I stepped out of his will, I have never been out of his care. God bless his name. I know from experience. And he's saying, in spite of our failings, in spite of our faults, he's with us to help us and to guide us. Oh, yes, God is faithful. And then God is good, too. I found that in the 95th Psalm, David portrays God as a good shepherd. In the 7th verse, he says, he is our God. We're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. In the 23rd Psalm, David talks about God as his shepherd. But when you come to the New Testament, Jesus tells us, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. David talked about the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, now I am here. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down of myself, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That's Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 18. So here is the true picture. We're all poor, lost sinners. We've all failed God in one way or another. And as the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the Bible says that no sinner will ever enter heaven, ever. Revelation 21, verse 27. This is what God says. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever abhorketh abomination, maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So we're all sinners, and we don't have our name in the Lamb's book of life until we come to Jesus, this wonderful Jesus who went to the cross. And on the cross, he shed his blood and he paid for the sins of the world. And then he tells us, if we call upon his name, whosoever will call upon his name of the Lord shall be saved. And we ask, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. I want my name written in the Lamb's book of life, and it isn't there. And so, Jesus, just come into my heart. take away my sins, wash me clean, like he says in Isaiah 1:18. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. And then he says in the book of Hebrews, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You says it sounds to be too good to be true. I know it does. But that's the wonderful grace of God, a loving God who wants you to come to heaven, but he's going to have to put you in hell if you reject his son. Because we have to be in Jesus. We have to have Jesus' righteousness. You make that prayer. Use your own words. I talked to one man not long ago, and he prayed for Jesus to save him, and he didn't know enough to say amen, and he got done with his prayer, and he said, goodbye. Fine and dandy. God knows what you're talking about. Don't get fancy. Just get honest and sincere with God. And so then in 85 years ago, he put his arms around me. And from that day, I was just a little struggling lamb. And he took me in his arms in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and gather them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with their young. And so this wonderful dear Jesus, I was a little old lamb and I was struggling. And he came and he took me and he carried me and helped me along. And then he says in John chapter 10, 27, 29, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. And what he is saying is this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Oh, my dear God. He takes us and he holds us. And then God holds Jesus' hand. And we are safe. And I'm not holding on to Jesus. Jesus is holding on to me. Sometimes you come to die. And one man told my wife, just hang on. You don't hang on nothing. You just trust Jesus. And he holds onto you, the wonderful, wonderful Savior. Oh, to God, I wish you would do that. And I remember reading about one man. He said, I don't know if I love Jesus enough or not. I don't know if I love God. And I don't know if he'll love me because I don't know if I love him. And the pastor talked to him. And this is what he told him. He said, the pastor said, when I go home from here, I expect to take my baby on my knee. Look into her sweet eyes, listen to her charming prattle, and tired as I am, her presence will rest me, for I love that child with unutterable tenderness. But she loves me little. If my heart were breaking, it'd not disturb her sleep. If my body was racking with pain, it would not interrupt her play. If I were dead, she would forget me in a few days. Besides, the pastor said, she had never brought me a penny. She's a constant expense to me. I'm not rich, but there's not enough money in the whole world to buy my baby. How is it, the pastor says, does she love me or do I love her? Do I withhold my love until she loves me? And the man could see it. Oh, my God, Jesus loves me. And no matter if I loved him or not, he loves me, and I do love him. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. That's grace. So he takes the little lambs. But now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, friends. I'm 95 years old now. 85 years later down the road, I'm not a little lamb anymore. I'm an old gray head. And I can't run with the flock anymore. And I'm feeble and frail and faltering. And I can't remember names anymore. And I can't do a full day's work anymore. And I can't read the fine print anymore. I can't walk by myself. Maybe you can't even get out of bed. What do I do then? Listen to what God says to the old gray heads. Isaiah 46, verse 4. Even into your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. Isaiah 46, verse 4. Oh, dear God, isn't he a wonderful Savior? The psalmist prayed, do not cast me, in Psalm 71, verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age, the psalmist said. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. And here comes the answer in Psalm 37, 25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Or again, listen to the psalmist 71, verse 18, he says, and even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all the nations. And so God is faithful and God is loyal. And here I am, not a little lamb, but an old gray head, an old sheep. And God loves me and carries me and will never leave me. Oh, what a wonderful God. Thomas Dorsey puts it like this. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. God is good. And I can tell you that after 95 years, God is good. And then God is great. God declares in the 95th Psalm, verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Again, David proclaims, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, that thou art God alone. Think of the greatness of God in this way. In the covenant that God made with Abraham, God said in Genesis 22, verse 17, God said, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. And so he's saying, he compares the stars in the sky and the sand by the seashore. When I started preaching 72 years ago, 23 years old, I started preaching 72 years ago. And they used to say, the critics of the Bible, we've got had them then, we'll have them now, we'll always be here. They used to say, well, the Bible compares the stars in the sky and the sand by the seashore. But we know about how many stars are in the sky. We've got a pretty good idea. And there's no comparison. That's what they said. And they made a joke out of it. Well, do you know what? With the modern telescopes and astrologers say that our Milky Way has about 100 billion stars. 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. The astronomers tell us that there are 10 million galaxies. Where in one of them there's 10 million galaxies with hundreds of millions of stars in each galaxy. Some astronomers think, really now, there are more stars than there is sand on the shores of all the earth. God was right. But I'm not done yet. Let me read you something here. Psalm 147, verse 4. God determines the number of the stars. Listen. And he calls them each by name. What do you think of that, Buster? This wonderful God names the stars and calls them by name. That's how great he is. He's a great and a wonderful God. Oh, my dear Lord. And you know, sometimes mortals, they talk about themselves as great. They're great. They're great thinkers. They're great inventors. They're great scientists. They don't say great sinners, but they are. They are great athletes. They are great achievers. And sometimes they make you call them great, like Alexander the Great, Herod the Great. And then there was a king, King Louis the 14th, and he insisted that you called him King Louis the Great. Called him great. He lived, he was a proud, vain man. He ruled from 1643 to 1715. He ruled 72 years. That's how many years I've been trying to preach. 72 years. He is the longest reign of any French king. And not only that, he had the most magnificent, extravagant court in all of Europe. King Louis the Great. Well, I guess. And not only did the great king live that way, he wanted to die that way. And so he comes along and he says he has his priest. And his priest is John Jean Baptiste Massillon. And he was a great preacher, by the way. And he feared God and was true to God. He fearlessly preached before the king. And sometimes the king would say, I didn't like your sermon. And Massillon didn't care. He preached the word of God. Well, to Massillon, the king gave orders for the funeral. And this is his orders. and he has to carry them out. He was to lie in state in spectacular fashion. He is to lie in state in the golden coffin, in a golden coffin at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. He and then the king further instructed that at his funeral service, the entire cathedral was to be completely dark, and it was to be lit dimly by only one candle positioned above the coffin so that all could be awed by the late king's presence, even in death. So Massillon, when he died, Massillon did exactly as the king instructed. And then came the day of the funeral, and thousands packed the cathedral, and the cathedral was dark. There was no light in it except that one little flickering candle at the casket. And then Massillon goes to the pulpit. He's going to officiate for the service. And to the surprise of all, they're all looking and wondering what's he going to do and say. Massillon goes there, and he reaches out, and he snuffed out the candle. And then in the total darkness, he proclaimed so that all could hear, "Only God is great." Remember that, friends. And all of the people knew there is one God, as the psalmist said, "Thou art great, thou art God alone." Now let me close with the final word of this Psalm 95. Listen to this, verse 11. "Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest." Now he's talking about Israel. And he's saying that Israel, he said, they wouldn't listen to my voice. He says, they wouldn't obey me. And so because of that, I had to punish them. And they wandered in the wilderness, and they never entered the promised land because they would defied God and wouldn't listen to God. And so God is saying, if today, now he says, and tells us in the seventh verse, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation." That is, God is saying, don't you do like Israel, who rejected me and turned against me, but you come to me and come to my son. He says in John 3:36, "He that believeth on the son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." He loves you so much, he gave his wonderful son for you. He wants you to come to him and pray to him and receive his son. 2 Peter 3:9, "He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." John 6:37, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Isaiah 55:6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And so he's calling you to come to Jesus and receive Jesus. But my friend, if you do not, you reject him. You don't need him. Well, then your day is going to come. And Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed unto men once to die, after that the judgment." You're going to die. And you're going to be judged, and there'll be no turning to God then, because all you'll find is a God of wrath. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And in the book of Hebrews 10:31, it says, "It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." That's what we're doing with the Christian Worship Hour. And that's what I'm trying to do as a preacher. Now I'm 95 years old. I'm still preaching the best I can. And I'm telling you, you have to come to Jesus. And if you don't come to Jesus, you're going to be in hell. And it's going to come just sure as the world. And so just come, and you just in your own way, just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you to save me from my sins." Just in your own way. You don't get fancy. Just talk to him. And then if you do that, he'll enter your heart. He says, "I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart, the door of your life. "If any man open the door, I will come in." But he will never come in unless and until you ask him in. He's not an intruder. He's not a trespasser. And you say, "Oh, Jesus," in your own words, "I was 10 years old. What did I know? I just prayed, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please take away my sin. And I'll serve you the best I can as long as I live." And God knows I've served him, and sometimes I failed him pretty bad, but I always came back and I never gave up. And that's what he wants you to do as long as you live, to come to him. So now you do that. Now, if you make that prayer, you write to us and we'll send you a literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to send a gift on the Christian, you can do ChristianWorshipHour.com. And now we need to have your help. If you think this is a ministry ought to continue, then you've got to help us. And like God says, James says, you have not because you ask not. So we're asking you, we're telling you, if you want us to stay on, you have to help us. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. Those of you on the shortwave radio, you can't look at the screen. So here it is, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you wonder how we spend the money, if we spend it all, are we getting boats and cars and planes and all of that stuff, sort of a thing? Well, we are audited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they check every penny we take in, and they check every penny we spend, and it's above board. So now I'm going to pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all the people, thousands of prayed today to receive you. We believe that. And Lord, we're praying for those today that they'll follow on and find the joy of their salvation. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Mexico that are suffering even now. Encourage them and bless them. Lord, we pray for those who are aged and those who are shut-ins and those who are under beds of sickness, that they would just look to you and lean on those arms. We pray for all who may be having troubles. Comfort ye, my people. Might be young people, Lord. They have their trials and their hardships too. Might be the children, and they pray. And so, God, you hear the cry of every child, every one, no matter 10 years old and some younger than that, asking Jesus in their heart, asking Jesus to forgive them for their sins, asking Jesus to help them to know what they should do in life, asking them to know what decision, how to find a job, whatever it is, you were there and you love them. And oh God, the Christian Worship Hour loves them too. That's why we're going to all this work, to bring them to Jesus. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Thanks for opening your door. Thank you for listening to the Word of God. That's all we have, the Word of God, but that's all we need. That's where the power is. That's where the hope is, the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And so just remember, God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we'll see you next weekend, Lord willing. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.